Hi, welcome to Maximum Geek. I'm Jeff Kervin.
And I'm Josh Curry. And I'm not going to make a geek joke this time, because I think it's insulting the geeks.
Hey, some
That's
people
right.
have...
I'm going on the limb here.
Somebody's got to bite the heads off of chickens, and you know, if they don't, who will?
But you're a geek.
Just saying.
Is that what you had for dinner?
Hey, I'm poor. Leave me alone.
And isn't the beak a little chewy?
Actually, it's crunchy. It makes a good appetizer. Okay.
Really? Fried chicken beaks, eh? I'm never coming over to your house for dinner. Because I've seen your apartment, and really.
Hey. Easy. All right. We've got a couple things to cover
Apparently
tonight.
He has drugs.
A wide gamut of gamut-like objects. Our first topic is a new book from O'Reilly Publications called Mind Hacks. Tips and tools for using your brain in the world. I really like O'Reilly's hack books. I think they're among the the best. Not necessarily something for dummies, but if you already know something and you want to learn the tips and tricks of how to do it better, really, there's nothing better out there. And this is a book about hacks for your brain. The sample hacks they have listed on their website, which you can download and read in PDF format. Hack 11, why people don't work like elevator buttons. Hack 16, map your blind spot. Hack 17, glimpse the gaps in your vision. Hack 24, create illusionary depth with sunglasses. Hack 33, neural noise isn't a bug, it's a feature. Hack 43, improve visual attention through video games. Actually,
I like
I'm sure
that
Josh
one.
Would love that one. Yeah.
I am all about my visual attention, and I'm all about my video games, so let's go.
Yeah.
I can improve my visual attention by watching porn, too. I am very attentive when watching porn.
Hi, Road.
Have I taken this off topic?
Hack 65, why can't you tickle yourself? And hack 92, make the caffeine habit taste good.
I love the taste of my Mountain Dew, which is my caffeine habit, so I don't know what that one's all about. Yes.
Actually, I drink a great deal of tea, both black and green. Really enjoy it. So I'm not exactly sure what
about other colors of tea? Are you against other colors of tea?
Yes, I am. I am vehemently anti-purple tea.
So why are you a tea racist? That's what I want to know.
A tea racist?
Yeah, you're against purple tea. How do you feel about... never mind. How do you feel about purple rain?
Okay,
I have to say it. I tried not to, but I have to say it. Alright, sorry.
Good movie,
okay.
Actually. Because really, who didn't think Apollonia was just crazy hot back in the 80s?
Some gay guys?
Okay, let's take a closer look at one of these. Hack 65, why can't you tickle yourself?
Oh, I was going to look at number 43, but...
Which one was that?
The one all about me.
Oh.
Visual processing.
Yeah,
65 is great.
Yeah,
let's go.
Let's do something that's actually interesting. Most of us can identify a ticklish area on our body that when touched by someone else makes us laugh. Even chimpanzees, when tickled under their arms, respond with a sound equivalent to laughter. Rats, too, squeal with pleasure when tickled. Tickling is a curious phenomenon, a sensation we surrender to almost like a reflex. Francis Bacon, in 1677, a psychoanalyst...
Fast forward to the intro.
I'm not going through the history of tickling.
Some interesting tickle history for you. Like Tickle Me Elmo.
Tickle predicting.
That's a whole other story.
Tickle predicting. First, you can look at why there's a difference between being tickled by yourself and tickled by someone else. In action. Try tickling yourself on the palm of your hand and notice how it feels. Oh, that's not bad. It might feel a little ticklish. Now ask a friend to tickle you in the same place and note the difference. This time it tickles much more. Josh, since your wife's at work, you'll have to use your dog for this experiment.
Wait a second.
How it
like
works.
You have someone there to tickle you. I take offense at that. I'm not sure this is the most interesting one we could have picked, by the way. I mean, you know, you picked the tickling one, which I thought was the least interesting. I just want to go out on a limb here and say, you have no idea what makes good podcasting. I don't think you know. I think you're just making this shit up as you go. And when you're wrong, you just barrel on ahead. Anyway, so basically what they're saying is...
When you experience a sensation or generate an action, how do you know whether it was you or someone else who caused it? After all, there's no special signal from the skin receptors to tell you that it was generated by you or by something in the environment. The sensors in your arm cannot tell who's stimulating them. The brain solves this problem using a prediction system called a forward model. The brain's motor system makes predictions about the consequences of a movement and uses the predictions to label sensations as self-produced or externally produced. Every time an action is made, the brain generates an efference copy of the actual motor command in parallel. The efference copy is just like a carbon copy or duplicate of the real motor action and is used to make a prediction about the effect of that action. For example, the tickling effect of a finger stroke.
You're part of corporate America, aren't you?
Yeah, let's just say that this is a cool book. Go buy it, and we'll move on to the next topic. What corporate America can't
reading the book
build.
Line for line was getting a little boring. But this next part, there's some really great stuff to read.
Yeah. Yeah. What corporate America can't build. A sentence. The New York Times today has article about R. Craig Hogan, a former university professor who heads an online school for business writing. And he's relayed that basically corporate America is functionally illiterate.
Quite often.
It has companies tearing their hair out.
Any of you who have worked America's for a big company have received these emails.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not just the emails, it's any kind of memorandum, but it's like when people find an email software and use it, they, like, give up 20% of their brain power to clicking the little buttons on the keyboard and don't use it to actually think about what they're saying. Let's give them a couple of examples.
I want to mention that companies are spending as much as $3.1 billion annually. That's billion with a B on remedial English.
Okay? You mean it's not billion with a Q? Because I always spell billion with a Q.
You're part of the problem.
Yes, I am. Although not as big a part as these guys.
The article opens, I need help, said the message, which was devoid of punctuation. I am writing an essay on writing. I work for this company and my boss want me to help improve the workers' writing skills. Can y'all help me with some information? Thank you. No capitalization, no punctuation.
No use of English in any noticeable form.
My favorite is from a systems analyst to her supervisor at a high tech corporation based in Palo Alto, California.
Let me read
California.
This one. Let me read this one.
Josh,
I love this one
ahead.
Too.
Josh, you read this one.
I updated the status report for the four discrepancies Winnie Ford forwarded us via email. They in Barry file. To make sure my logic was correct, it seems we provide Murray with incorrect information. However, after verifying controls on JBL, JBL has the indicator as B, ... I wanted to make sure with the recent changes, I processed today, Python before Murray make the changes again on the mainframe to C. Now, I don't even know what they're talking about.
I don't think
I've been a systems analyst. I've done the job. That makes no sense. I mean, you know,
let me read a paragraph from the article. The more electronic and global we get, the less important the spoken word has become, and in email, clarity is critical, said Sean Phillips, recruitment director at another Silicon Valley corporation, Applera, a supplier of equipment for life science research where most employees have advanced degrees. Considering how highly educated our people are, many can't write clearly in their day-to-day work. And Josh, would you please take the mic out of your mouth?
It's not in my mouth, honestly, dude.
It sounds like you're recording from inside a dragon.
Really? How'd you know? Let me drop it down below my chin. Here we go. It moved up. I was juggling, and I think I may have bumped it up further than it was. Is this better?
Into your nostril. Yes, much better.
Well, it was more in line with my nostril than my mouth, is what I realized after I said after I denied. Because, let's face it, we all deny. First reaction is, it's not me! Even if it clearly is. Okay? And, actually, denial brings us right back to our topic. A lot of people are in denial about the fact that you've got to communicate clearly in corporate America, and just don't care. They don't care, they never learned it right in school, and now they just refuse to even try.
Yeah, a lot of people, and granted, this is not just email. People are actually writing this way in business documents. People think that throwing in multiple explanation points will make their point more forcefully. Caitlin Duck Sherwood of San Francisco, author of a popular how-to manual on effective email, argued in an interview that exclamation points could help convey intonation, thereby avoiding confusion in some email. If you want to indicate stronger emphasis, she advises, use all capital letters and toss in some extra exclamation points. Well, not to make this point too strongly, but I think that Caitlin Duck Sherwood of San Francisco should be taken out and strung up. She's killing the English language.
She's not a good business practice.
The
internet's killing the English language. I'm going to say the internet's killing the English language.
If you work in an office and you're right, grammar isn't just that guy on Frasier. I mean, put some effort into it, okay?
Well, let's start with the basic things. You know, U is a word, not just a letter. Y-O-U, not just U. R, also a word, not just a letter. I mean, I've been known to use those in instant messaging because you're in a real hurry. But if you're sitting down and you're writing an email, you know, take the 3 seconds to type the extra 2 letters.
Yeah, the word your is not spelled U-R.
It is if you're stupid. But, and like I said, now instant messaging is a different story because it's an ongoing dialogue
No, it's not. I use legitimate grammar and punctuation in IM. And I think I'm one of 3 people that does it.
I don't think you always do. In fact, I've seen you not always do it. But, you know, that's...
Lies!
Okay, lies! Except for it's the truth.
There is a new mobile software website in town. It's called Mobihand. M-O-B-I Hand. The site design looks remarkably borrowed from Amazon, and the software selection isn't quite as good as Palm Gear or Handango, but this might give the big two the incentive to to improve their own sites a little more. So give the site a look, take a take a gander around it and see if there's anything there you like. They actually do have some cool features. My biggest problem with it is on the left-hand column, they've got software by device, and you can actually, like, go down and click on your device and, and see software that is compatible or optimized for just your device. Problem is, they don't list Tapwave Zodiacs at all. So, damn them!
they don't list the best Palm device, but that's okay. They don't have to sell anything.
Anyway. Okay. Newsweek has a has an article this week about apparently there was a virgin who gave birth to a kid in the Middle East somewhere.
I think we're gonna assume that people have seen this Daily Show clip and not try to reenact it.
King of the Jews.
Because we're not as funny as Jon Stewart.
Okay.
He's got much better delivery than me, though.
Both Time and Newsweek have articles about the Nativity because they're crack news organizations and it helps to cover something that happened 2,000 years ago.
Well, 2,000 years gives you a lot of time to do your research. You can have all your facts in a row. Wait, never mind.
Or in really interesting geometric progressions and stuff. There is some interesting information in the Newsweek article in the form of a poll of Americans. Let's see how many of these you would have guessed. Most Americans believe the virgin birth is literally true. 79% of Americans believe that, as the Bible says, Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary without a human father. 67% believe that the entire story of Christmas, the virgin birth, the angelic proclamation to the shepherds, the Star of Bethlehem, and the wise men from the East, is 100% historically accurate. 52% of those polled believe that, as the Bible proclaimed, that Jesus will return to earth someday. 62% say they favor... the statistics we've already mentioned, I have no problem with. Belief is a very personal thing. And religion is a very personal thing, and if that's what you believe, great, beautiful, more power to you.
I agree with Jeff 100% on that.
Having their own. Yeah. However, this is where it starts to get creepy. 62% say they favor teaching creation science in addition to evolution in public schools.
Okay, 43%. Never mind, go ahead.
43% favor teaching creation science instead of evolution in public schools. Josh, take it away.
Well, all right. I have some pretty strong feelings on this one. First of all, creation science. Don't use the word science. There is no scientific theory. This is a belief, and it's a magical belief. This is the belief that we were created by a higher being. There's no science here. I hear no science. I see nothing but the Bible, which, if you want to believe in it, that's great. But stop calling it a science, okay? There's something called intelligent design, which is a bad science, but nonetheless, it actually has some scientific principles behind it. The problem with intelligent design is it doesn't take anything into account that we know to be a fact. Evolution is a fact. Things evolve. People evolve. We are changing. It happens. It's not a question. It's not a theory. It's a fact. The issue here isn't whether evolution is true. The issue here is how you bring it into your own beliefs. I know plenty of religious people who believe in evolution, but they have taken the next step and said, okay, just because it exists doesn't mean it wasn't guided or started by a higher being. Well, that's fine because we honestly don't know why evolution exists, but we know it does. And all evolution really teaches is that we start one way, and through natural selection, we start to become another way. Well, that's really the only way to account for our genetic diversity. It's really the only way to account for hobbits. We found freaking hobbits. These are humans they're an entire race of people, not just a couple of little people. These are actually hobbit-like people. Okay? That's evolution. It's out there. It exists. If we look at Lucy, not the oldest remains found, but one of the older remains found, there are clear differences. I'm tired of hearing that we need to teach creationism in schools. It's not a school's job to teach a child religion. That's what church is for. You choose your church, you take your child to church, and you as a parent get to say, okay, here's what we believe, here's what you should believe. And how you handle your child and your beliefs is up to you. But by saying that that's it has to be taught in schools...
You could do it the way my parents did and said, here's what we believe, here's all the other things out there, pick one.
Well, and see, and that's more the way my parents were, but I was, you know, I'm not really talking to those people, okay? Not really talking about those people. Those people who say, okay, here's what we believe, go choose your own belief, they're already on the path to what I'm talking about, okay? What I'm talking about is, it's your job to handle your child's beliefs, not the school's. Just because you believe in creationism doesn't mean that evolution doesn't exist, first of all. Nowhere in the Bible does it say we didn't evolve. Nowhere in the Bible.
No, I mean, actually, Genesis lays out evolution in broad strokes, if you see it as... as a parable rather than each biblical day of creation was 24 hours. You hit upon an interesting point there. Basically what you're saying is the church handles belief, the school handles knowledge. I think what a lot of these creationists are objecting to is the supposition that belief is somehow not as valid as knowledge.
And no, but it's not as universal. It's not as universal. There are many beliefs, but we know evolution exists. You can say it doesn't. You're wrong. There's evidence. There's proof. Creationism is a belief, and there are ways to apply the belief of creationism to evolution. And that is for you to handle on your own. I'm not here to. I'm not going to draw it out for you. Okay, there are plenty of ways.
Oh, come on! And down south, they've just opened up a creation science museum to counter all of the evolutionary natural history museums that actually has what I presume to be an artist depiction. I don't think they had cameras, but it actually shows dinosaurs going into the ark. So I mean, how can you argue with that?
Well, you know, I'm sorry. Obviously, I was wrong. Evolution exists. Deal with it. Don't teach my child that evolution is a lie, because it's a fact. Intelligent design around the facts, and so is creationism.
I don't think we're going to get around teaching intelligent design or creationism in the schools. I think that's eventually going to happen. There's just too much political pressure in support of it. However, the 62% that favors teaching creation science in addition to evolution, I can buy that. Okay, teach them both. Say some people believe this, some people believe that. Make up your own damn minds. That's fine. Okay.
I agree with you. But
education should be about not telling people what they know or telling people what to believe, but encouraging them to decide for themselves. However,
well, I agree.
The 43% favor teaching creation science instead of evolution. That's where I start to go off on a Josh-like rant. Yeah, if you want equal time for your side, that's fine. But yeah, now I never plan on breeding, but Josh has a kid on the way, and I don't want Tori to grow up in a grow up in a school in Kansas where they teach her that God created the world in 7 days and that's it. There are no other viewpoints. That's BS. No, that's no.
Well, like I said, religion is a choice. Okay. You have a choice, and you choose how you deal with that with your child. I'm not even going to get into that. That is your own choice. However, when we're talking about the fact is evolution exists. Let's not even look at it in humans. You can't take evolution out of it because it is a fact. Evolution happens. There is evolution.
Well,
you can see evolution.
I wouldn't go that far. There are some holes in evolutionary theory. It's not a perfect theory. There are some very important parts of it that we don't understand yet.
Well,
it's
a fact.
I think it's the best working theory. I think it's the best working theory that we have so far.
It's a fact that things change. It's a fact that natural selection is as close to a fact as we can come to this. But the fact is, things do evolve. The method behind it is the only questionable thing, okay? But, I mean, it's out there. Things evolve. It happens. We've seen it. We've seen it within our lifetime. We see it all the time. And not just through fossil records, which, I can hear,
Personally, I think those two-headed calves are really going to take off.
Okay. That's called a defect. That's called a defect.
Okay.
Okay.
Moving along.
Oh, come on, man. I got another hour worth of rant on that.
Our next topic is the DLC and why they're stupid. For those of you who haven't been paying attention this week, the Democratic Leadership Committee is trying to distance themselves from Michael Moore. They've decided that that instead of being the party of left-wing elite ivory tower intellectuals, they should, appeal more to the hard hat Americans, like there's any of them left. And instead of standing up for left-wing values, yes, we do have values, thank you. They've decided to move further to the right to try to be there's the Republicans and then there's Republicans light.
This is a new decision. I've seen it for the last.
Yeah.
They've been moving that way, and it's been what's driven me nuts about even finding a candidate for this election. Was the lines keep blurring more and more, and it became less a vote on the issues and more a vote on a couple of the issues because there aren't enough differences between the parties right now for me to be happy. I mean, it's already that way. We're going to even lighter version. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. They need to pick.
Their latest attack in this vein is claiming that Michael Moore hurt the Democrats in the election. And that the Democrats should distance themselves from zealots like him. Now, I'm not saying that criticism of Michael Moore isn't allowed. This is America. Ideally, criticism of everyone should be allowed, including the Yahoo in office. But
agreed.
It shouldn't be required. Michael Moore, and from my personal perspective, Michael Moore is a hero. I really think Fahrenheit 9/11 changed a lot of minds, a lot of people that were on the, you know, that were undecided, I think watched that movie and made up their mind one way or another. Personally, I think any, and this is speaking as an author here, I think any artist who creates something that once people experience it, I mean, I've seen people walk out of theater showing Fahrenheit 9/11 crying. I've seen loud arguments break out in the parking lot. You know, this generates a lot of passion. This, you know, this is something that people honestly felt. And really, in this this day and age where, everybody's jaded and cynical and it doesn't really matter, whether you agree with the guy or not, he made everyone think. And I think that's laudable.
I agree. He definitely did manage to get some different views on what was going on out there, because there weren't a lot of competing views at the time. But I can understand why they're a little skittish of throwing their force behind Michael Moore, okay? I don't know that, supporting him as, the voice of the Democrats is the right thing to do. I never would say that. But disavowing him, because he's a little,
extreme?
What is it? Yeah, that's it. It's like, it's ridiculous.
So basically what I'm trying to say is,
there's got to be some middle ground that actually works here.
Yeah, if you're a Democrat, be a Democrat, take your balls out of your purse, and actually stand up for what you believe in. If you believe in leftist policy, say so, damn it. If you believe in progressive taxation, say so. Yeah, it's time that we quit monkeying around, pretending to be less annoying versions of Republicans, and stand up for what we believe in.
I agree.
Right.
I think we need to find an actual stance and go with it. It's not.
Speaking of politicians, Bill Frist needs to be, I would say, whipped on the Senate floor. Frist, who is a medical doctor, recently spoke in several interviews claiming that the HIV virus can be transmitted through sweat and tears. This is unconscionable. I mean, he knows better, and he's blatantly lying to the American people to try to push the conservative, don't touch another human being ever if you can help it agenda.
Which is just stupid. I don't get where they're coming from on this anyway, let alone why they would feel the need to lie. And it's just, it's one of the worst things I've heard said in a long time, just in general, because it's a fact that it's not true. The fact is, it's not true, am I making any sense? It's another one of those points where it's like, well, gee, we can lie because that's what we want to believe.
Yeah, and I don't think the American people should stand for it. I think Frist should be publicly censured. Heck, if maybe if we get enough hullabaloo about this, we could actually get the lying SOB recalled. All right. Fun stuff. Josh had a comment about movies.
I do have a couple comments about movies. There's some interesting things coming out and around the corner. I'm starting to see a trend in sci-fi. We've got a new Doctor Who television series, which is going to be premiering on BBC before long. We've got a War of the Worlds movie in the works, And we've got
directed by Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Spielberg.
Yeah. And we've got Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I mean, these are some classic sci-fi, and I'm really kind of excited to see us get back into that. And we've got a Soylent Green remake. We've got a Logan's Run remake. I mean, these are some classic sci-fi that help define the genre that I'm really excited to see. The other big revolution...
With the Soylent Green remake, what's going to be the big reveal at the end? I mean, Soylent Green...
I don't know. They've already said that they're going to reveal very early on that Soylent Green is people. It is not... That is not going to be the reveal. My worry is they're going to pull a Planet of the Apes, which was just, we won't go there. But there are plans. I mean, they've thought about
it.
They know that... They know that... they know that they can't be Soylent Green as people as a big reveal, but they can maybe explore a little more that happened and explore the consequences of Soylent Green and kind of explore the story a little deeper, I think is what they're going for. So,
by the way, the basis for the original movie Soylent Green is a short story or a short novel by... I think Harry Harrison called Make Room, which is available on RosettaBooks.com.
Yeah.
So if you want to download the original book.
Yeah. But yeah, I definitely, a lot of these are, a lot of these are based in short stories, and those are always an interesting read. But the other thing I wanted to talk about was... Marvel and DC Comics and comic book movies, which are the end thing in Hollywood. But the great thing is we've got...
I am getting really, really jazzed about Batman Begins and Superman Returns. We're starting to see promotional materials for Batman Begins, and oh my god, this looks cool.
Yeah. I'm psyched for Batman Begins. What little we know about the Superman movie, which doesn't have a name yet... it's just Superman for
now. I thought
it
was called Superman Returns.
Not necessarily.
Sure, I read that somewhere.
Well, Batman Begins was called Batman Intimidation Game for about 6 months. So, I'm not claiming it has an actual name yet. Superman Returns was actually, I would kind of be afraid to go that way because there's a lot of history in the comics with that, which... they don't plan on touching at all. But I'm really excited because they're putting the effort behind this that they should have put in the last couple movies of each series. They're getting back the respect they should have gotten. They're building a permanent set that is going to double for Metropolis and eventually, you know, New York and later movies, but they're building it for this movie that is a four-city block set that's four stories tall, and it's going to be amazing for that. And they're not cheaping out on it at all.
Yeah, it's really good to see DC finally taking their comics movies seriously.
At the same time, I'm worried that Marvel's going too far. Go ahead, sorry.
I think Batman and Robin featuring. Our future president, Arnold Schwarzenegger, was one of the low points in cinematic history.
God, let's never talk about it again. I'm really kind of excited to see these, but I'm worried that Marvel's starting to bite off more than they can chew. But the good news is they're not cheaping out on any of it. They've got a lot of movies coming up, and unless they really bomb something, Elektra comes to mind, unless they really bomb something... I'll be in for most of them. One final note from me.
I will see Elektra
tomorrow,
no matter
Blade
how
Trinity.
Bad it is.
I will see Elektra, but we'll see how bad it bombs. It could be great or it
Jennifer
could
Garner,
suck. I'm excited
clad
because
for
I
two
love
hours.
The character.
I'm all about that.
I'm excited because I love the character, but we'll see whether they can, you know, whether it's got the oomph it needs. And I don't
get the impression you're not happy with Garner as Elektra.
I'm not. But I'm not unhappy. I'm ambivalent about her. I wasn't too impressed
with
her performance.
Who would you rather see, Angelina Jolie?
No. Please, dear God, no. I would rather see some. I'd rather see an unknown, or someone, you know, anyone else. Not really anyone necessarily, but I'm a little ambivalent about Garner as Elektra. But from what I've seen, she looks like she may be doing. She looks more the part in this movie than she did in the first one, in Daredevil. And we'll see. I'll definitely go see it, but I'm kind of holding out.
Come on, you got Terrence Stamp playing Stick. I mean, how cool is that?
That's cool. There's rumors of, yeah. Anyway, that's very cool. Stick is going to be a cool character to see, and I am going to see it, and I am excited because this is one of my favorite storylines they're looking at doing, and some of the neatest stuff in the Marvel Universe. But I'm really worried about how they're going to pull it off, and I'm just worried about the number of projects they're all of a sudden taking on. Although they're going for big
Frank
talent
Miller's
on every one of them.
Doing very well in the theater, and not just as a dead guy.
Yeah, and that was a reference to Daredevil. For those of you who don't know, that Frank Miller made a cameo as a dead person in Daredevil.
One of Bullseye's.
Bullseye victims. Killed him, and he actually in the there was a scene that got cut of him actually getting chased down by Bullseye and being killed. But now he's just a dead body that you see a glimpse of. but there's a lot of Marvel stuff coming out. But the only thing I can say for sure is that they're not going the cheap route. They're really trying, and I just hope they find a way to pull it off.
What's the status on Iron Fist?
Iron Fist is still out there. We got no specifics.
With Ray Park as Iron Fist.
We don't know. There's nothing to say that Ray Park is going to be Iron Fist. We don't know.
That's what I heard.
There's a rumor.
I know they're making a Luke Cage movie.
There is going to be
a Luke Cage movie as well.
There is going
to
be a Luke Cage movie.
Who's supposed to be the title role on that?
Singleton's directing, and I don't know for sure off the top of my head who's going to be the Luke of the Cage, but it is, could be good. It's John Singleton. We'll see. That's one of those, could be really good, it could be something I run screaming from the theater from. I could probably find a little information out on that. Give me 2 seconds.
What's the story on Iron Man?
Iron Man right now is going forward. We've got, Luke Cage. Luke Cage, we've got no actor, just John Singleton, okay? Iron Man, we have no idea who's going to be in the suit. And there's actually, IMDb has nothing on Iron Man.
Wonder if the suit is going to be completely CGI, or if they're going to try to do a Fantastic Four and do a lot of physical costuming.
Oh, that's right. Nick Cassavetes is directing Iron Man, who actually may very well do a great job. But
that's something that I'm a little fearful of about the Fantastic Four movie, is that they're not doing the thing as a CGI character, and
the Ben Grimm suit.
Otherwise. Yeah, if there's a Ben Grimm suit, I can't imagine how that would not be lame.
Well, there was already a Fantastic Four movie with a Ben Grimm suit.
No, there wasn't.
We'll just not talk about it.
It didn't happen.
It didn't officially happen, just so they could keep the rights.
It's right down there with Highlander 2, The Sickening.
Oh, come on, but there was a Renegade version.
Which wasn't any better.
It was a little different. All right. Enough rambling about movies. I think we can do a whole episode on Marvel, so.
Yeah.
We'll save that for later.
So that's it for this 8th edition of the Maximum Geek.
That's right.
Second there, actually,
we're
out of here. Forgot the name of our podcast. All right. So we'll see you next time.